We're back with another edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Emily Jashinsky, culture editor here at the Federalist. As always, you can email the show at radio@thefederalist.com. Follow us on Twitter at FDRLST. Make sure to subscribe wherever you download your podcasts as well. Today, I'm very happy to be joined by someone who's certainly very familiar to all of you. That would be Trump Media and Technology Group CEO and former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Emily, great to be on. I've never been on your podcast, even though I am a longtime listener. So it's an honor to be here.
You know, I am surprised by that because, we have covered so closely so much of your work. So that's why it's a real pleasure. First, when you were in the House and now where you are at Truth Social. And actually, that's a great segue into the first question I wanted to ask you. A lot of people would wonder why somebody would give up the power that comes with being in Congress to go into the private sector. Now, for me, as somebody who's lived in Washington for a long time, it seems completely obvious why someone would do that and would want to get out of it.
Escape from the swamp, from all the swamp creatures.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us from your perspective, what was it that drew you not just away from Congress, but specifically to this project, to Truth Social?
Yeah, so I was one of the first to be shadow banned by the tech tyrant platforms. And it was all during the Russia hoax. So, you know, before 2000, before Donald Trump was elected, my life was, you know, fairly normal. I was chair of the House Intelligence Committee. We tended to really not be in the news much unless there was some type of terrorist attack of some kind. And then, of course, when dirty cops of the DOJ worked with the Clintons and the DNC, and they decided to weaponize our intelligence agencies and turn our justice system against, you know, not just Donald Trump, but really the Republican Party. That probably started late 2015 all through 16. Well, I find out about it in late 2016. And as somebody who had long been warning about Putin and some of the things that he was doing in Eastern Europe, you know, having been a student of that region for a long time in my duties as intelligence chair, I found it rather shocking that all of a sudden there's gambling in Casablanca and guys who had done nothing with Russia, Putin at all for many, many years, including the famous reset button that they were doing. I mean, just completely one joke after another. You can imagine when the intelligence changed from, you know, really in a matter of 2 weeks. So right after the election, briefing, nothing, zero, just normal, you know, Vladimir Putin thuggish behavior, which was, by the way, the accurate assessment at the time, to then 2 weeks later, oh my God, this is a disaster, Trump, Russia, Republicans, Russia. And I was a little bit in shock because I actually thought it was a joke. They must have gotten something wrong. Couldn't be right. And then, of course, as December, Christmas flows into January, still dossier, you know, then is, you know, leaked. We see that still dossier. And, you know, as someone who had been, you know, 10 years reading intelligence reports, I said, is this a joke? Like, this isn't intelligence. This is nothing. This is like a Hollywood script. I mean, that was my first impression. And here we are 6 years later. That's exactly what it was. It was written by really nasty people being paid to do it. It's the worst Hollywood script of all time that led to the biggest political scandal in modern history. So anyway, that's kind of a long little short story of how did I get here? Well, the fake news immediately, when I called BS on this, the fake news immediately started calling me, what is he hiding? Is he a, you know, he must be a puppet of Putin. And, you know, I was just bombarded by this nonsense and madness. So I started just messing around, typing in like, okay, Devin Nunes podcast. Well, page after page after page would come up with Devin Nunes, puppet of Putin, Devin Nunes, you know, Antichrist. And I said, oh my God, I couldn't find my damn podcast, like video podcast on YouTube. What the hell is this? So I mean, and I say that I really just stumbled into this, you know, by, you know, it's essentially fake news media trashing me and slandering me. Very few people, Federalists actually did, was one of the few who did a good job on trying to get to the truth of the Russia hoax that then became Ukraine impeachment hoax, to needing a way to get my message out, to then being shadow banned by these tech companies. So then to build a podcast and then be shadow banned essentially by YouTube. So lo and behold, I just decided, I said, look, let's just find a damn player somewhere, you know, like anything, that I can, because I had a huge email list, a nationwide email list for my supporters. And that's why it was so impossible, because I had, you know, well over a million people on my email list. How is it that I got 75 views, right? Well, a couple things were happening. One, Gmail and others, we weren't able, emails weren't going through, but also the links were being killed somehow. So that people would click on the link and it would just go to, like, you know, a 404 error code. So we started to document this. So I just said, what the hell? Let's just find a video player somewhere. And we stumbled into this company called Rumble, who had a kind of a start. Well, I mean, they had been around for a little while, and called up the, we got an account to see if it worked, called up the CEO. And at first he thought it was a prank, because he thought he was under investigation, because he's like, why would the chair of the House Intelligence Committee be calling me, you know, who he clearly knew. And then it turned into that he didn't think I knew what I was talking about, because I said, look, I just, okay, you have a video player that works? That was my question. Oh yeah, yeah, it works. And excuse the, you can hear the leaf blower going outside. So I apologize if you guys can hear that. But it went from that, Emily, to where he thought that I was totally nuts, because I said, well, if I just type in Devin Nunes, will my podcast come up? And he's like, well, wait a second. I'm clearly not an investigation, but this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, no, try it. Go to YouTube, try it. And that was kind of an oh crap moment for Chris. He said, oh my God, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, here, let me send you some, you know, links. So we sent him some links. And look, they really do exist. There really are videos, but he couldn't even find them. And this is a tech guy, video tech guy, who couldn't find them.
Right.
Couldn't find the video. So
we have that problem with Federalists too. That is a very real phenomenon.
Yeah. Well, if we're not being shadow banned, we have leaf blowers going on the outside.
Being targeted.
That are targeting our podcast.
Yes.
Damn. These tech guys are really bad. They know, I mean, when they can't beat us over the internet, they send leaf blowers to.
That's strategic.
Strategic placement of personnel. So anyway, back to the Rumble story ends with this, that, so I start sending out my video podcast on Rumble. So remember I said I had like 9,000 followers on YouTube? In 3 weeks, on a platform no one had ever heard of in America, I had 35,000 subscribers on Rumble. In 3 months, I had nearly 400,000 subscribers on Rumble. Serious numbers. At the same time, I got on a company called Parler that was then nuked by one of the tech tyrants in Amazon. A lot of people were on there. It was Dan Bongino, myself, were the first, you know, well, Dan was the first. I was kind of the second person to go on there. The only congressman, I think, at the time. And the same thing happened. It didn't take me long. I think I had roughly a million followers on Twitter. And I had like 100,000 followers on Instagram, which, by the way, I'm still stuck at 100,000 followers on Instagram for like 4 years straight, 4 years running, even though I liked Instagram, but I've been stuck there. A million followers on Twitter within like no time. By the time Parler, so in a matter of less than a year, I ended, when Parler finally got cut, I had over 4 million followers on Parler. 4 million. So anyway, I stumbled into all of that. By 2020, I wrote a book about how this was a funnel of propaganda going into people. So I wrote this around the 4th of July, is when the book was finished, right after the 4th of July of 2020. And I essentially said, the book was called Countdown to Socialism. And it's actually, if you can see it, your audience can't see it, but it's sitting right behind me, called Countdown to Socialism. And the premise of the story is that, you know, no matter what happens, we're susceptible. We don't have a communications architecture because we are being shadow banned. Our voices are being censored. And what I described was a funnel effect. So if you start with 95% of the news that is slanted and left wing and being produced by oligarchs, billionaires, hardcore leftists, communists, et cetera. By the time you funnel that down, because I'll take the 95.5. I mean, I had survived with the 95.5 all through the Russia hoax with probably the dirtiest of the dirtiest of tricks. I survived. Why? Because we had real investigative reporters like those at the Federalist who were willing to stand up and do the right thing. So, you know, I'd get 95 stories that I was a Russian agent, but I'd have five stories that would essentially say, no, and by the way, you 95% are wrong, and here's why you're wrong. And really, it's funny, like the 95% should be embarrassed of themselves. And it is so bad that that's why I just stopped talking to them. I haven't spoke to the fake news for many, many years now, because they are such a joke. And I'm sure we'll come back to that later. But but the bottom line is that when you run that 95% through social media, through your into your phone, whether you're on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you're getting almost zero from conservatives, almost zero. So our inability, and I kind of knew this intuitively through the Russia hoax, like I thought to myself, wait a second, you have for so many, you know, for 2-3 years running, you know, first of all, we started with probably only 15-20% of America who knew it was a hoax. Gradually, we got up to the low 40s. And I'm talking about multiple polling across the board. So you had, you know, even when it was obvious that the whole damn thing was a hoax and the cops were dirty, Clintons were dirty, Carter Page had been screwed, all the stuff, the Russia hoax, at the height of all that, I think we got to like 42 or 43% who knew it was a hoax and 52% who thought that Republicans had something to do with Russia and Trump, you know, Trump has something to do with Russia, whoever. And I just realized in the middle of 2020, I said, oh my God, this is impossible. We've been pounding and pounding and pounding away here. Massive scandal, a scandal for all the ages. And yet you have over half of the American people who think we're the Russian agents, right? The Republicans are the Russian agents. And that was so anyway, in the book, I basically simply write like, look, this is we have no communications architecture. It's bad enough that you have 95% of the news is crap and garbage and propaganda. But when you funnel it into the human brain through those eyeballs, you're getting nothing. So I said, so that's why I called it Countdown to Socialism. And, you know, lo and behold, that was written before, you know, big issue. Hunter Biden laptop from hell was banned from all the platforms, right?
Right.
And we now know that alone swayed the election. It was before we knew that Zuckerberg spent, you know, nearly $500 million to sway the election to go into, you know, just a few states. Just those two issues alone sway the election. That was big tech. Then, of course, you fast forward to them cutting off Parler, trying to shut down Rumble, you know, completely ruined a billion-dollar company where I had 4 million followers. So, you know, it's essentially I wrote the book. All of this stuff happened at the same time. And then I went around the country in 2021 warning people about all of this. And then when Donald Trump announced the startup of his company, and then a few months later, he called me and said that, look, you understand this stuff and I'd like you to come and do this. And I just felt like, and this was a long answer, you know, to a very short question, but I think it's an important one. I just felt like, yeah, I was in a leadership position, but who am I to sit there and run around saying, this is the biggest problem. If we don't have a communication system, we're totally screwed. And then have an opportunity to go out and lead this fight and lead this war effort. You know, who am I to tell my kids and my constituents and everybody, yeah, well, I had a chance to go do what I thought was the most important issue, but I just decided not to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it would have been obviously, you know, better in terms of for my political career to stay where I was. But, you know, I'd been there for 20 years and I felt like this is the most important issue at the highest level. If you don't have a basic communication system, if you can't even communicate with each other, much less communicate with people who don't pay attention or who are kind of in the middle, or even have that ability to communicate with the left, we're screwed. I mean, it's basic 101 of war, of warfare. And so that's why I left, kind of plain and long story, but an important one.
Of course, many of our listeners are parents, so I want to let you guys know, parents, it is time to finally cross off one of the most important things on your to-do list. Life insurance. Fabric makes getting a great term life insurance policy for your family quick, easy, and surprisingly affordable. Fabric was built specifically for parents to help you manage your family's financial future like a parenting pro, stress-free. Fabric's new lower prices mean significant savings over other providers with great policies like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. Everything's also on your scheduled Fabric because it's all online. How convenient is that? Less than 10 minutes to apply, and you could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Then just personalize your quote to fit your family's needs, and you'll be set with high quality, affordable protection for your family. What a weight off your shoulders. Fabric is fully backed by Vantas Life, one of the most trusted names in life insurance since 1847. So you can feel confident when you're getting a high quality policy that meets your family's needs. With Fabric's online hub, it's quick and easy to track your family finances all in one place. Get fast, affordable life insurance, create a will for your family, set up your kids' college savings plan, and even establish a rainy day savings fund. Planning for the future has never been easier. There's no risk to apply today either. Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. So protect your family with term life insurance now in just 10 minutes. Apply today at meetfabric.com/Federalist. That's meetfabric.com/Federalist to start protecting your family today. M-E-E-T, fabric.com/Federalist. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued by Vantas Life, not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
No, it is an important one because it shows how the gravity of the situation, I think, became increasingly clear. And to someone like yourself who really had that front row perspective. Now, Parler is such an interesting case study, and there are still some structural questions that, I mean, Parler really never recovered after January 6th.
Horrible what happened to him.
Right. I mean, it was just the perfect test case and how these companies act as monopolies. You could almost not script it in a way that is more instructive of how these companies are anti-competitive. Now, how do you feel or how do you plan to deal with the app stores, which are essentially the gatekeepers? Mm-hmm. They control your terms of service and your content moderation. And I think, you know, that's an open debate as well. You know, how much power should Apple and Google be able to exert over people's terms of service and content moderation, et cetera. But how is Truth Social sort of dealing with that challenge in particular?
Yes. So my biggest concern was to not have to have all of our own servers and not be relying on any company, knowing that there was one company we were going to have to deal with and plus a second one that we don't necessarily have to deal with. But right now we're going to try to deal with them. But that was Apple. So, you know, if you can't be on the Apple App Store, it's a monopoly. You have to deal with them. And then obviously the second one is the Google Play Store, which we can come back to that. But I knew if we could be on Apple and stay on Apple and then also have a web, be accessible through a web browser, which, by the way, we're launching that here in the coming weeks. So right now we're available in the Apple App Store, but in the coming weeks we'll be launching with a web browser. And then after that, we'll be in the Google Play Store. But
I was just going to ask both of those questions. So
yeah. Yeah. So here's how we handle it. So the good thing is that my goal and our mission as a company is to be a family friendly atmosphere. So we're not looking to have like a dirty place where number one, where there's illegal activity. So illegal activity, we don't want at all. And then you want something, I don't want it to be a cesspool like you see on a lot of the other platforms, where it's just, you know, nasty, people have fake names, bots. I want there to be a real person behind an account. Mm-hmm. That's what we strive for at True Social. We want people to essentially come out, be themselves, and not be afraid that some, you know, fat dude's controlling 1,000 bots being paid for by Fusion GPS that's ultimately being paid for by, you know, tech tyrants or the Democratic Party to just pounce on you if you say something that they disagree with that doesn't fit the political narrative.
Do you see that as being different from what Elon Musk has laid out as his like First Amendment standard? It's like this anti-cesspool. Let's get rid of these anonymous accounts. Do you see that as being actually a slight divergence from what Musk is talking about?
Well, I think that, I don't know if Musk got it from us, but we've been around long before, we started this. I took this job in January. And, these are the same, this is kind of the principles that we started with in January after I talked to President Trump. We kind of set a game plan for, that we wanted to be on Apple and we didn't have an issue with Apple because we want to be a family friendly place.
Right.
So I would say that, that Musk and all that, I mean, that's just coming from guys like me who have been pointing, and others in Congress and elsewhere in the media who have been pointing this out. I mean, it's pretty obvious when, even during our beta testing period, which some folks from Federalist were on that, they were getting more interaction on our platform than they were getting on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, you had people getting more interaction than they were getting on Instagram.
Mm.
So that was during our beta test. Now, for the last couple of weeks, now we're essentially blowing them away. So, 99% of the people of our kind of true content creators, whether you're kind of a small, medium, or large content creator, let's take somebody who loves being on there. They make memes. They maybe had 5, 10, 20,000 followers on some of the other platforms. And you got people that have 100 to 500,000. You got people over 500,000. Well, almost in every case, you're getting more interaction on Truth Social than you are on the other platforms.
Mm.
And most of the time by a lot, not by a little. So what does that mean? Does that mean that Truth Social has people more engaged? Yeah, maybe. That's part of it. But I think the bigger answer is that places like Twitter don't have very many people. There's just not very many real people there. You have bot farms, left-wing bot farms, spam accounts, corporate accounts, and then you have a lot of dead accounts. So my guess is that, I mean, there's got to be a reason that Twitter's never made money. And there's got to be a reason they haven't really been honest about or forthright about how many customers and users they have in the U.S. So my guess is that whatever your follower count is, it's much lower than that. Those people just aren't on the platform. Also, yeah. You take the shadow banning on top of that they would do when they did have more users, they would shadow ban. I think if you look at Instagram and Facebook, that is, they for sure do have users. If you just do a simple, I have a big family, extended family in my area, and Easter, it's kind of the first time we were all together since I took this new role. So there's probably close to 100 people there. And I just asked everybody, okay, how many people are on, Twitter? And it was like zero, like literally zero. And I think I had like two uncles that were like, oh, I used to be on there till Trump got kicked off,
Right.
And then I asked Instagram, which, it's kind of a big range of age groups, right? Lots of kind of young people all the way to, 70 years old. And, most of all the people that were under the age of 50 that are my relatives were pretty much all on Instagram. And probably about the same that were on Facebook. And of course the kids that were there were all on TikTok. So, not that this is it wasn't a scientific poll, but, it kind of matched the polling that I had done in my political races. Facebook is where a lot of Republican voters are, and at least were. Instagram is kind of that under the age of 50 right now to probably 25. And then below that it's TikTok. So nowhere in there is Twitter. So sorry for going on here, but the bottom line is I want something that my mom won't be embarrassed of to be on. I don't want any bots. We don't want any spam. And right now we fight it all day to keep it off. It's a challenge. But to stay up on Apple, as long as they're being true to what they say, we're not going to let any illegal activity. We don't want any garbage. So we should be fine, but look, we have a concern. Web browser, we'll be fine with that because we are on the Rumble cloud. So Amazon and all them can't cancel us. We're completely uncancelable.
Right.
So people are going to be safe with us. We're not going to take your data and sell it. And I would say then lastly, we've been in discussions with Google, and we are now in development of to be in the Google Play Store. So we have our hesitation with that. I can tell you we're eyes wide open there. We don't, we don't know ultimately what happens if, you know, Biden's disinformation board at the Department of Homeland Security says, oh my God, there's people talking about COVID vaccines on Truth and we disagree with them, it's disinformation. Are they gonna go to Google and force them to shut us down? Maybe, I don't know. I can't guarantee that, but I think I think Apple will be fine, but if not, we'll be safe, with our web browser.
Yeah, that's such an important point, because that was the second structural thing in question that Parler suffered from was the app stores and then Amazon Web Services, famously in the Parler case. And this is I see this also as another test case. And one of the interesting things about social media is that the point of Facebook, the point of Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is that everybody's on the same social networks. You don't have to have 20 tabs open to stay in touch with people. And that's an interesting thing about this. It's like, can the Elon Musk version of Twitter and Truth Social exist at the same time? How do you see that dynamic playing out? You've said things like we're totally supportive of what Elon is doing, which I think is very gracious. There's a $1 billion merger on the line and all of that mm-hmm. stuff. But do you believe, because that seems to be, maybe it's not a threat. There's a possibility for coexistence.
Well, we don't want to be, start off with, we don't want to be Twitter, right? So we're not trying to be Twitter. Nothing we're doing is remotely close to what Twitter is. Twitter, that is on its best day, to give it the benefit of the doubt, is a global press release wire for celebrities and Hollywood people and political hacks and journalists. It's not a place that normal people go, as evidenced by, not only my unscientific family poll, but also the polling that I know from my own political races.
That's a really important point. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've never set out to be, I think a lot of people see us as Twitter because they associate Donald Trump with tweets. Mm. But Donald Trump was on all the other platforms also. I think he actually had more followers on the other platforms, on Facebook and others. But in no way, shape, or form do we want to be Twitter, we're really looking at what's the best of Instagram, what's the best of TikTok. And if you've been on our platform, you already know our video speeds are increasing. So we have a very good blend of what is kind of a Twitter message board with Instagram and TikTok. Mm. So we got to increase our video speeds and the length of our videos, but we have full screen video, and that, why are we doing that? It's because we know that people want to have video, and we're using Rumble actually as our video player and our cloud. So Rumble is the YouTube alternative we talked about earlier. So look, the goal that President Trump had and myself was very simple goal. We want to open the internet back up, give people their voice back. So holistically, if more billionaires want to come around and buy up these other companies, we're all for it. And we're for free speech, and we're for opening these platforms back up. But I just don't see, any minute that, despite what the fake news says and the narratives that they're trying to write, any minute that I spend worrying about Twitter that's a ghost town with no people is a waste of the time for the company. So, and I'm not saying that to be rude or mean. It's just true. That because even in our nascent stage, at Truth Social, and I've said this in numerous interviews, why are we getting more engagement than these other platforms are? It's clearly because they don't have any people, they've run them off, or they've shadow banned them. It's pretty mm-hmm. much that simple. And I'll tell you, the Federalist is a good example. The people from the Federalist that are on our platform, when they do post, which by the way, they need to post more often. We need to get you to take that over so you can start posting. But whenever Sean and Molly post on there, they're good. They're good content creators. They put good stuff up. You have good stories, and they perform very, very well. And we're barely at the beginning right now. I mean, we have so much more to do. I mean, we're just in the next few weeks going to open up a web browser. We've got a lot more, improvements on the platform that we're making. That's going to, hopefully look a lot more like Instagram. Not totally. I don't want to be Instagram because we also want to be a place where people can put up links, which mm-hmm. I think, Instagram's like a place that they suck you into it. And then you just get stuck on Instagram. We actually want to be give and take where Federalist puts up a story, Molly Hemingway writes something with that, but somebody clicks on the story, goes to the Federalist website, you put up your podcast on the Federalist account. We want to be, we're trying to be the rising tide lifts all boats, right? We want to give people their voice back. So we're not just trying to get people on one spot, keep them there, suck all their data and sell it to somebody. We mean what we say. We're trying to be a family friendly place where people aren't politically censored, that you're not going to be embarrassed about. We're not going to steal and sell your data. You're never going to be shut down. So we have a massive comparative advantage against these other companies. What do the other companies have that we don't have? I mean, they have everybody knows the little blue bird. Everybody knows Facebook. I don't for the life of me know why Facebook's changing its name to Meta. Seems like a dumb branding thing, but they had spent, I'm sure, tens of millions of dollars to figure out what to change the name to. Seems like they're running away from a name that has a global brand. There's got to be a reason for it. So they have an advantage of that they've been printing gold for a while, especially Facebook and Instagram. But we have an advantage that they have half of America that they've alienated. And if we develop a really good product that people feel comfortable with, I think what's happening now is going to continue to happen, which is we have people that are having a good time on the platform, even though it's 10% of where I want it to be in terms of its capability, our platform's capability. I hope a year from now, we're going to be totally in a totally different place in terms of our users, kind of our users' experience that they have on the platform because of the capabilities we're building.
So I definitely consider my incessant skepticism both a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing in journalism for sure. But as I've watched all of these MyPillow ads over the years, I have just been plagued by the question, are these as good as the commercials say they are? I've always wondered this. And when the fine folks over at MyPillow were kind enough to send me some of their products, I was really pleasantly surprised. These things are great. And right now they're having a BOGO extravaganza. So you can buy one, get one free price. Pricing on the MyPillow bed sheets as low as $59.98, the Elegance MyPillows as low as $49.98, and that six-piece towel sets. Those are my favorite. Those are included in the BOGO extravaganza. Also, the Roll and Go Anywhere MyPillows for $29.98 and so much more. Those six-piece towel sets are made with cotton grown here in the United States. Other towels feel good but don't absorb, or they absorb but they don't feel good. Every MyPillow towel is made from proprietary technology that makes them highly absorbent and soft to the touch. I can confirm that. It's absolutely true. Like I said, these are my favorites. They have no lotiony feel either. Every set comes with two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. So you got everything you need. They're available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are machine washable and come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a one-year limited warranty. Those roll and go anywhere MyPillows. You can use them on your couch, your recliner, or in your car. They're versatile enough to take on vacation or really anywhere you go. They're also available in multiple colors and patterns and machine washable and dryable for all you parents. That's the most important part. They come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee as well. So as you can see, it's a buy one, get one extravaganza over at mypillow.com/Federalist. Bed sheets and MyPillows are just the tip of the iceberg. Find the full list of BOGO offers by visiting mypillow.com/Federalist or call 800-794-8429. Stock up with buy one, get one free savings today and get Mike's book free with any purchase. mypillow.com/Federalist or call 800-794-8429. mypillow.com/Federalist. That's so, such fascinating perspective, because one of the things I was going to ask, in fact, was there's so many of these social media platforms that are literally built like slot machines. They're made to capture our attention for as long as possible. And then we talk politics and culture on them and they destroy our discourse. But it's so interesting that you talk about making a better platform, a sort of platform that is actually just better for the country and for the discourse. How conscious are you guys of that sort of fundamental flaw in a lot of these social media programs as you are building Truth Social itself?
Yeah, it's, look, in a perfect world where, you know, where we're headed here is that obviously a message board that people can talk back and forth, two really good video and pictures, which we have, we're at the nascent stages of, but we have it. And probably the most, kind of the next step will be making sure that you can find people that are around you, you know, that would build. So we'd like to get that kind of local flavor. Okay. Which is not, that'll take some time, but that's all about building a capability in that people can find. So we're going to build, hopefully we're in design right now, but it'll be scrolling. So you'll be able to find people that are nearby you.
Mm.
And
oh, that's cool.
We want to be able to localize this. So, and then once that's done, then it's important to have lists so that it's not, because in our feed, we don't use an algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you post at 105 and I post at 107 and it's just going to be in that order and we don't change it. Okay. Unlike the other platforms. So with that is comes some advantages, but also some disadvantages. So it's also hard to, like, you miss what, you know, somebody said earlier in the day, because even if you're following, one of the mistakes people are making right now on our platform is I think they're so used to the other sites is like they follow each other back and forth. And really what you should be doing is, you know, there's no reason to have 7,000 people that you're following. I mean, you can't possibly keep up with that much information. So I think it's really kind of curating, making sure you're following the people you want to follow. And then we'll create buckets where you have lists so you can develop friend lists, right? So we have a lot of people that are posting really cool pictures on there. I mean, ultimately, I like to have somebody will begin to create lists where they can join that list or group. So then they'll be able to go on there and look at that feed to see pictures that they like or videos that they like. We have, by the way, we have the best meme makers in the business. I mean, it amazes me. I didn't even know that these people could do all this stuff that they're doing that I'm seeing. And you know why? Because they got banned from all the tech tyrant platforms like 3 years ago.
Right?
So I didn't even know they existed. And all of a sudden, like, we open up and we've got like 30, 40 of these meme makers. I'm like, holy crap, these people are really good. Like, what happened to you? Like, oh, we got kicked off Twitter 3 years ago. You know, oh yeah, right. I got banned from Facebook 2 years ago. And so they have a lot of fun with that, right? So ultimately there will be a place for, you know, meme makers to go, and you'll make a list and you'll go look at memes. So, and then kind of the panacea of all of it after that's done is going to be ability to where you feel very comfortable about having your family on there, your pictures on there, your family videos, pictures of you know, I just got back from my daughter's, school for end of the year type of program. Right now, even me, who I'm the CEO of True Social, you know, I'm not sure I want to put a picture of my daughters up there, you know, yet. Right.
Right.
But ultimately taking that best of Facebook that people actually miss and having your family, your friends, your high school buddies, where you have different groups that are, if you want to keep that, kind of siloed off so that you're not sharing it with the whole world. We want, you know, hopefully that's kind of the panacea. So we're really trying to bring in and combine all of that into something that's very intuitive, very simple to use. Mm-hmm. So far we have that with what we've created without question. There's simple improvements. It will be harder to get to that panacea to be simple enough for people to create these family groups. I think that's going to be a challenge, not just to build, but also to make it where it's easy for the users to use, right? Because you got to be as easy as Facebook,
right?
In order, if you're going to really replace Facebook.
Yeah. And so I don't need to re-ask a question that so many people have asked you, which is, would President Trump get back on Twitter if Elon Musk swoops in and you know, miraculously saves the app? But that is an interesting question in the context of if Truth Social isn't sort of a parallel to Twitter. It's this project that wants to be a different kind of platform. Is there a time then where President, you could see it like being a case where President Trump could do both?
Well, I mean, at this point, I don't. I mean, there would be no reason to do it because it's just, I mean, first of all, you're banking that this thing's going to go through. Mm-hmm. You're banking that they're going to make improvements, right? Which I think are going to be very, very difficult.
Yes.
And I know it's hard for people to believe. And in this format, we have time to go, you know, we can talk about it longer, unlike, you know, some of the TV interviews and other interviews I've done. But I know it sounds, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be a jackass, but there's no reason to go to Twitter. I mean, I quit Twitter. I haven't posted on Twitter in, you know, more than 2 years or something. Right.
Right.
There's zero reason to go to Twitter. There's no one there. Okay. There's no one, when I say no one, there's no normal people there, right?
It's a tiny percentage of the population, especially their daily users. It's just a fraction.
It's a fraction. And the people that actually make the posts on there after you take the shadow banning, you know, factor in, I mean, you're getting garbage. So I can't tell you, and I don't want to embarrass the people, but there are so many people that continue to post onto Twitter and Instagram. And they might as well just be in a closet yelling at themselves because they have like zero reach. And they post on our platform, you know, every now and then, and they're getting tremendous reach. So, and that's only going to get stronger. It's only going to grow. The more that's going to happen. I mean, and look, I have a little bit of experience with this because I watched it happen with Parler, mm-hmm. right? I watched what happened when I went from got on Parler and then, wow, like I got, you know, 30,000 followers. And then I had 100 and then I had 200. And then all of a sudden when I had like 250,000 followers on Parler, I was getting more interaction than I was getting on all the other platforms combined.
Right.
Combined.
Right.
And I was on Facebook, I was on Instagram and I was on Twitter. And I was getting more when I had 250,000 followers on Parler, I was getting more interaction combined. Okay. So imagine what it was when I got up to, you know, finally 4 million or whatever it was when they got shut down by Bezos. I mean, I was getting, you know, I would post a video up, a Rumble video on my platform, of my podcast. And I mean, I would get, I mean, almost overnight, I'd have 10, 15, 20, 30,000 views on it. Mm-hmm. That was unheard of. I mean, some of mine would get to 250,000 views. I mean, that was the combination of having a place like Rumble where you could actually find my video and then having an open platform like Parler. So I already know what's going to happen. We just have to, you know, continue to, you know, make sure that we can, you know, I always say we're going to focus on quality and reliability. And reliability, of course, is the hardest part because we had to build this block by block without any big tech. And we have plenty of people coming to kill us, right? Whether it's the Biden disinformation board at Homeland Security, or it's DDoS attacks that are going to try to take us down. There's plenty of people trying to get us. And look, you know, the other thing is we're only in the US right now. So,
right.
You know, that's another important factor. We're only in the US. And, you know, ultimately, we'd like to go other places, although the EU is going to make it pretty difficult to go into the EU. It's a whole nother topic for a whole nother show. But but yeah, I've already lived this. I've seen it. I know it's going to happen as long as we have quality and reliability for our users and we treat them right and we try to make improvements. And I always tell people, you know, look, you know, this, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And look at what these companies have been around for over a decade now, right? Right. They have tremendous capabilities, tremendous money. And, you know, we have a small, dedicated, you know, nimble team that have built something that hasn't been built before. I mean, we're the first major platform that can handle, you know, tens of millions of users that can't be shut down by big tech. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something. But with that, you know, we get people all the time that are, well, hey, how come this doesn't work? You know, as simple as that. It's like
the cues, right? Like people griped about the cues for a long, like it's you have a very small team. You're a very new thing. And so people are, you're working through that, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many features that people want, right? Like you get, well, which I kind of laughed. One of the ones people want is the edit button. And I actually got on to Truth the other day. And I said, we're trying to make, I have a hashtag make social media fun again. Mm. And I said to one of our users, I said, you know, look, we don't want to have an edit button. First of all, we don't have time to make it because we have so many other things we have to build out, but we wouldn't have hashtag Covfefe.
I was just going to say, you need it to get Covfefe.
So when Donald Trump came back for the listeners, he said, I'm back, hashtag Covfefe.
Right.
Which for those of you who don't know, he had a famous tweet 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember when it was, where he ripped the fake news media and then he wrote this word nobody understood. It was Covfefe. And of course, the fake news went crazy. I think President Trump's staff deleted the tweet, and then the fake news made fun of him for deleting the tweet. Well, now in kind of the conservative circles, Covfefe has become a thing. Like everybody speculates, what is it? Nobody knows what the hell it is, except for Donald Trump and Dan Scavino.
Have you gotten the inside story on that? Have they told you what it means, or that you're totally in the dark?
They've both President Trump and Scavino have told me they're going to tell me someday, but only at the right time. Okay. So until that time, I kind of use it as my morning, you know, my morning like wake up call. You know, I'm going to have a cup of Covfefe.
So that's really funny, because that gets to the last question I wanted to ask you, which is, you've been really generous with your time. I could do this all day, but something fascinating to me is the way that President Trump used Twitter. He seemed to be a user of the app. Like, he liked looking at what people were posting. Now, fast forward to Truth Social. I'm really curious as to what your experiences have been. I mean, this is one of the most powerful men in the world. How does he use the app? Like, what does he enjoy? He really seems like he actually looks at what people are saying to him. So if you're an average American citizen and you post a truth as a former president of the United States, there's a decent chance he would read it, as opposed to, you know, the idea of like Hillary Clinton actually scrolling through social media is laughable. But with Donald Trump, you actually believe he's looking at the truths.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's really enjoying it a lot. And, you know, he wanted to get on for so long. And of course, the fake news were having a field day with that. But, you know, I told him, you know, look, we need to get through the beta testing. And there's no sense in you getting on this platform until, you know we can't be shut down. So, you know, and that did not happen until we, you know, moved over to the Rumble Cloud. And, you know, all of that worked perfectly. We've had, you know, basically no glitches. Allows us to take on, like I said, tens of millions of people. And, you know, we haven't had any issue handling the load. And as you probably know, when he did his first truth, God, I don't even know what it's been now. Like, what has it been, like 10 days ago or so? You know, it went crazy. I mean, it went completely viral, not only on our platform, but around the world. And we had our, you know, just people just flooded into the platform. And, you know, we knew that was going to happen when he made his comeback to social media. We had to make sure that we had that, going back to that reliability that we needed in order to, you know that we have a platform that can handle even the busiest of times. So since then he's ramped it up. I haven't actually looked today I don't think he's posted anything yet, but he's having fun with it. And the challenge is getting him in that mindset of that this is more like Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. Mm. So he was at a wedding the other day at Mar-a-Lago, and he was very excited about the, you know, posting about the wedding, which, you know, normal people would be. And I was like, hey, how awesome would it have been if you had a picture with you and the bride? That would have been so cool. And so we got to get him into thinking that way, because he's used to kind of Twitter. But imagine saying congratulations, you know, to the wedding party with a picture of Donald Trump and the bride. So hopefully we're going to get President Trump more up to speed with pictures and videos. And I can promise you that he's enjoying the platform. And I mean, he said it, he has no reason to go back to the other platforms.
He needs more taco bowls.
More, right. That was on there too. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Cool. See, people remember that stuff.
Oh, that one is iconic. Yeah, that's one of the iconic ones. Well, again, like I said, I could keep going all day, but you have been so generous with your time. Thank you so much for stopping by.
I'm a big fan of the Federalist, and hopefully now that I have, now I get paid to go do this and talk about this. You know, I used to be just like investigating dirty cops and people like that. It was just a pain in the ass. Now I can actually go out and do this fun stuff, you know, talking about Truth Social and answering your questions. And I'm sure that you'll have a lot more. So hopefully we can do this more often.
Yes, that would be fantastic. We would appreciate it. I know our listeners would appreciate it because this has been very insightful already. Again, thank you so much, Trump Media and Technology Group CEO, and of course, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes.
Thanks a lot, Emily. Thanks for having me.
And where can people download Truth Social?
Just go to the Apple App Store.
Yeah,
and here in a matter of the next week or so, you'll be able to go to truthsocial.com and get web access. So Apple App Store now, web access here in just a matter of days.
There you go. All right. Well, you have been listening to another edition of the Federalist Radio Hour. I'm Emily Jasinski, culture editor here at the Federalist. We will be back soon with more. Until then, be lovers of freedom and anxious for the fray. Day.